While in Nashville recently, music critic Milo Miles went to an exhibit about Hank Williams at the Country Music Hall of Fame and Museum called Family Tradition, the Williams Family Legacy, and culled mostly from the family's own collection. The exhibit features photos, documents, stage costumes, musical instruments, and new interviews with two generations of the Williams family.
One fine achievement of the Family Tradition Show at the Country Music Hall of Fame is that the exhibit escapes its rather pat official narrative. Co-curator and museum director Kyle Young's description of the exhibit presents the Williamses as more or less the Kennedys of country music. Young writes, "These are ordinary lives made extraordinary by an alignment of talent and bedrock values, and by the quest for personal and professional identity that continue to move each generation through the earthly joy and sorrow of the times they live in." In fact, it tells a stranger story, how a musical genius came out of nowhere and gave his family an enduring identity, even as he haunts them. The Family Tradition exhibit powerfully underscores how in 6 short years, Hank Williams Sr. went from promising newcomer to superstar to corpse, and how he became bigger after death than he ever was in life. By now, Hank Sr. has become the incarnation of pure country music.
Looking at a man that's getting kind of mad. I had lots of luck, but it's all been bad. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. My fishing pole's broke, the creek is full of sand. My woman run away with another man. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.
After Williams' death, his widow Audrey became an ambitious caretaker of his legacy. Hank Williams Jr. took the key step to make music the family tradition. He started performing on stage at age 8, and by 14 he was making records. After all, he was wearing sparkly stage cowboy suits when he was a tiny tyke. Although it took 2 decades, Hank Williams Jr. also went through striking changes of image. From a kind of impersonator of his father to an innovative embracer of rock to a kind of professional redneck. Unlike his dad, he's also become a darling of the music industry with a fat case full of awards and trophies. Since Junior's own celebration of his father's legacy has often been rote and self-serving, it was a welcome surprise to see how different he was from his yee-haw Bocephus persona in his video interviews. Here was an articulate, introspective fellow talking about his complex family currents. It's really a best of Hank Jr.
Country music singers have always been a real close family. But lately, some of my kin folks have disowned a few others than me. I guess it's because I kind of changed my direction. Lord, I guess I went and broke their family tradition. They get on me, want to know, Hank, why do you drink? Hank, why do you roll smoke? Why must you live out the songs that you wrote? Over and over, everybody.
One highlight of the exhibit is the savvy frankness of the video interviews, whether it's Junior's sister Lucretia or his son Shelton, who performs as Hank III. They don't sensationalize the emotional train wrecks they've seen and experienced, but if you listen, they don't sugarcoat them either, and you're struck by Hank III's strong potential as a performer, particularly since he looks and sings more like his grandfather than his father. Another surprise was outside the museum, a rally by a small group of cultural activists who call themselves Reinstate Hank, and who want to reverse the injustice of 1952 when Williams was kicked out of the Grand Ole Opry for being a bag of demons. Their quest is a bit quixotic, since the Opry doesn't offer membership to dead people. But their argument is sound. If the Williams image is good enough to exploit, he's good enough to belong to the establishment. Because finally, what the Family Tradition Show establishes is that Hank Williams has become the most famous brand name for hard living and hard country music.
Milo Miles lives in Boston. The Family Tradition exhibit runs at the Country Music Hall of Fame and Museum through December 2009. You can download podcasts of our show on our website, freshair.npr.org. We've saved the end of today's show to remember our former colleague here at WHYY, Wayne Connor. He died of liver cancer last month at the age of 79. When I came to WHYY in 1975, Wayne was already a veteran here. The station devoted many hours to classical music programming then, and Wayne hosted Singer's World and Collector's Corner. He shared his rare recordings and his encyclopedic knowledge on our station for three decades. You may remember him. His programs were aired on many NPR stations. Although he was outstanding on the radio, broadcasting wasn't really his profession. He taught vocal literature and history at the Peabody Conservatory, the Curtis Institute of Music, and the Academy of Vocal Arts. He was revered as a voice teacher and mentored many singers. Wayne was a great singer, but many of us who knew him at WHYY never heard him sing. In fact, some of his colleagues here didn't even know he'd had a career as a singer. Knowing that I wanted to play something on Fresh Air, Wayne's friend and colleague from Peabody, Ernie Ligon, burned a CD of a couple of Wayne's commercially released tracks, as well as songs from some of his recitals. The fact that Wayne never played for us what you're about to hear is an example of how modest he was. What a beautiful voice he had. It reflected the kind of person he was. This was recorded in 1960 at the Marlborough Music Festival and was released by Columbia, now Sony Records. The song is from Brahms' Liebeslieder. Accompanying Wayne at the piano are Rudolf Serkin and Leon Fleischer. That was Wayne Connor. He died last month. He will be greatly missed. Our thanks to Ernie Ligon for the recording.